Good evening. This is Noreen Sumter on Beyond Potential. Live life your way. It is 9 o'clock on Tuesday. And though my energy is up, it's really not. It's down. And, but, you know, it'll be where it's at by the end of the night. And I went live. Yeah, I'm live. I am now live. I'm live on Facebook, too. Is an issue? Look, say hello. Okay. So it's like Tuesday, and like I always say, it's my favorite time of the week. And why? Because I get to talk to you. I get to talk to you about anything I want. And this week, I don't have a guest this week, but I'm going to say I have a guest, and that guest will be my sister. My older sister died. When did she die? Last week. And, she is going to be the first of my, she is the first of my siblings to die, we shared the same parents. And, so I just wanted to sort of pay a homage to her and her life, and also invite, other friends in to join me and pay homage to their people who might have lost friends, loved ones, siblings, and just come in and have a conversation with me and, you know, give your respects to that person. But anyway, before I launch into that conversation, I actually do look nice tonight, Sam. Thank you. Before I launch into that conversation, I just want to acknowledge NABO, which is the National Association of Women Business Owners, and acknowledge them for the push that we did last week. We had our boot camp. NABO, if you don't know, is a women's organization, and it's about empowering women in business. We've been around for about 40 years. And I always like to say, if you're a woman and you have a credit card in your pocket, you should thank NABO for that, because they helped to push through the bill HR 5050. I think we're losing picture here due to poor wireless connection. And yeah, so they pushed through and created HR 5050, which gave women the right to have their own credit card, to have their own loans, and not to have to rely on the help of a male signator, because that's how it used to be. Back in the day, we used to have a male signator, a male to sign for us, either a husband or a family member. And how NABO got started was one of the women, she went to the bank to get a loan, and she was told that she couldn't get a loan because she didn't have a male signature. And the only person she had in her life that was male was her teenage son, and they gave him the loan. Can you imagine? I can't even imagine going to the bank. You know, I probably have one of those badass kids that would be like, yeah, mama, I'm in charge of your money. And he'd probably be doling it out to me. That could never happen. I would have to beat some ass up in there, right? So, but in essence, what we did was we beat some ass and we changed the policies so that each and every woman in the United States can get a loan. But it's really weird, because even though America is, I can't name a country per se, but I know there are many of them. Even though America is like one of the dominant countries in the world, there are countries in the world that take for instance, Poland, everybody got the vote the same time. And so women were able to get loans and things like that. And there are other countries in Europe as well as in other parts of the world that were able to get loans and stuff like that. So we're not the only ones that were out there and couldn't get it. But there were women that, countries that are civilized, I'd say, and looked at men and women as equal. So last week we had our boot camp, which was creating your story. I'll tell you, we put a lot of work into that, and it was exhausting. And we'd been working on that for a few months. And I can tell you quite honestly, I think that, you know, when you're working on adrenaline and you're just going from one thing to another thing, you don't realize how much energy and how much adrenaline you're using until that thing no longer exists anymore. And then you're just like completely exhausted. So I have been completely exhausted. And then the cold weather doesn't make a difference. You know, it doesn't help. And then my sister dying, I mean, she couldn't, you know, I knew she was going to die. But the fact is that she died. And then there was the adrenaline and I'm rushing. And then all of a sudden, everything sort of comes to a like even keel. So there's just even stuff. And then I'm like, I know that my sister died. And I know that death, we've lost video. Okay, so how do I just done? And then how do I do it? Somebody else is going to have to do that. And so, I know that my sister died. And it's really weird for me because I'm here and they're in London. So it's real. I know it's real. But I'm like somebody said to me today, that is probably not going to hit home until I actually see her, you know, see her body and see the family and all that good stuff. But I am not looking at, you know, my sister's dead, but like my sister to me will never really be dead, you know, because I feel that her spirit is very much alive in me. And that, like I said, if I look in the mirror, there she is, but I'm a better looking version. Her kids will punch me in the face with that, but it doesn't matter, right? If I look in the mirror, she's there and I'm there, and it's like she's not really gone anywhere, you know? And I just don't believe in like death as, I just don't believe in death as a final frontier. You know, I don't think it's like the final act. I think we just like go off into the ethos and, just reconnect to everything, right? It's kind of like we're everything and nothing. But anyway, a little bit about my sister. My sister, I always refer to as the good one, right? She was, you know, compared to me, she was the good one. She did as she was told to do. Hi, Sharon! Sharon, you remember my sister, Janet, right? She was the, I would say that she was the good one. And I was the one, I guess she paved the way with being the good one, and my parents' strictness, their strictness should have been on me, not her, you know? But I guess when you're the first child, you get all the test stuff, you know, like the testing of how strict I can be, and by the time the second one or the fourth one, which I'm like actually the fourth one, you're exhausted, right? But the thing about it was that I was not going to allow my parents to dominate me in that way. You know, my sister was good. If they said come home at 12 o'clock, she'd be home at 12 o'clock, right? If they said don't go out, she'd be okay and not go out, right? All I can remember is my sister having her friends up in her room, right? They're coming by and chatting. But also, my sister took a lot of care of us. She was like the, you know, the first kid's always the provider, right? The caregiver. She was that caregiver. She cooked food. She, exactly, Sharon. She was, right? She was really good, right? And Marissa, which is her daughter. Marissa, you should call in. Yeah, she was the good one. She was like, you know, she only had one boyfriend, which she married. That was not going to happen to me, right? I needed to sample the goodies. Right, she had one boyfriend, and then she got married, and she had four kids, three girls and one boy. But she was obedient. She cooked all the time. She made cakes all the time. I never cooked. I wasn't going to cook. And when I was asked to cook, I made sure I made it so nasty that they would never ask me to cook again. Of course they did, because they probably liked, you know. It was, so my mother lived in a world, God bless her little cotton socks. My mother lived in a world of, if you were a woman, You had to learn to cook. She comes from that. So my mother's going to be 90 this July, right? So my mother comes from a world of, if you're a woman, you're supposed to learn to cook and clean and stuff like that, right? So I guess that they instilled that. My sister didn't argue that point, whereas I was like, that point, it's not going to happen. I remember once my mother saying to me, what's going to happen if you don't know how to learn, if you don't know how to wash dishes? And I was like, I get a dishwasher, right? And in that moment, my mother, she was perplexed because she'd never really thought of getting a dishwasher, right? Whereas I was like, I'll get a dishwasher. I'm not going to, if a man doesn't want to be with me because I can't wash dishes, then I am not the woman for him, you know? My sister did all of that stuff. She washed dishes. She cooked. She did all the womanly things. I was thinking back today, my sister, when she had children, she didn't go to work. She made cakes and she was a dinner lady, right? So she would volunteer up at their school, if my mind serves me right. She would volunteer up at their school and sort of like, she was a homemaker. She took care of them, right? That was, we're just so different. But she was kind, generous, stubborn as a mule. I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to say that she was like, you know, she was stubborn as a mule and she did. If she didn't want to talk about something, you couldn't make her talk about it. And so my sister had a long, hard battle with breast cancer. But the thing about my sister is that I never heard her complain. She never complained. You know, she never fussed about it. She just did what she ought to do, what she knew to do. And she prayed and she had a church and, you know, she had her church sisters and all this kind of stuff. But I never heard her. When I would talk to her on the phone, she never complained. So when we come back, I'll talk more about my sister.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network. Are you stuck in a rut? Negative thoughts, feelings, and conversations got you down? Hi, I'm Noreen Sumter, the Potentiator. Tune in every Tuesday at 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time and listen for new ideas on my show, Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way, on talkradio.nyc.
Who do you want to connect with?
Are you an entrepreneur or intrapreneur looking to build your following?
Welcome to our show.
Follow Me Friday with Joan
and Priya.
Tune in every Friday at noon Eastern
on talkradio.nyc.
We're your digital connectors.
Woo, woo! What's that?
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
So we're back on Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way. So I'm talking about my sister. And as I talk about my sister, I realize that, like, you know, when I asked my sister if she was happy, you know, she'd always go, yeah, like, of course I'm happy. You know, I'm alive. I mean, even up until her last week that I spoke to her on the phone and she was telling me that she's tired and that the cancer had gone in her bones and it had now, you know, gone into her brain. And I said to her, I said, well, do you know that there's a possibility that you could? She says, I'm alive. She says, I'm alive right now, right? And she goes, when it's my time to go, I'll go. But right now, I'm alive. And I just was like, okay, you know, I guess she's got this, you know. And, but I knew that it wasn't going to be long, I guess. And then, you know, when you get that call from your family members, you always know it's that call, right? And it's like, I already knew, it wasn't like a shock to me, you know, that she had died. And I like to say that word, that she had died. I don't like to say that word like I've lost my sister or it's a loss. I mean, I know people use it, but for me, I haven't lost my sister. My sister's dead, right? And my sister is going to be buried. Her physical body is going to be buried someplace. And, you know, she's going to, when I think of my sister, I think of my sister when she was younger. I think of her when she was in her late teens, early 20s. That's when I saw her. And that's my vision of her when she was at her happiest. I can't say that she was unhappy. I really can't, because she wasn't, she's completely opposite from me in that I'm talkative. I'm, you know, like I would make like an illness. I'd make a story about it. I would, you know, engage people on things that I'm doing. I would empower people in my, you know, empower myself and empower others inside of my journey. My sister is like, I had said to my sister one time, you should join one of those support groups. And she said, for what? So I can sit around and just talk about my problems. And I was like, no, it's not talking about your problems. It's sharing. I think that's how you grow, right? That, and I think that she was like, no, I'm not going to do that. She goes, I've got my church. And she was like, really? And look, and here's the thing. We weren't raised in the church. We were not raised in the church. I mean, can look at this person. You think I could be raised in the church? No, I wasn't raised in the church. I'm not religious. And I don't practice any form of religion. I believe in a higher power. I believe in universe. I believe in God power. I believe in spirits and things like that. But I just don't believe in one secular God, like if you're Christian or I'm a Muslim. If anything, I would probably practice all of them just because I want to know a little bit about them. And I have. And what I've found is that they're all connected. The stories are all very similar. The names are just very different. But she was like really big in her spiritual religious practice. And I think that was the thing that like gave her solace. Not my solace, her solace, which is what's really sort of important. But yeah, my sister, she's got four kids, three girls and a boy. So I'm going home next week. And we're going to bury her. But I don't consider it like we're going to bury her and that's it. We're going to actually bury my sister and have a celebration. I think it's going to be like, because already her church, they're doing a reflection, which is, you know, you get together and you have photographs and you go through the photographs and you talk about the person and you talk. It's like a testimonial to that person's life, right? And so they're going to have that kind of a celebration. And I'm kind of excited to go and celebrate with my family. She is the first of my siblings to die. You know, like I said, my mother's going to be 90 in July 29th. And my mother is suffering from Alzheimer's, right? So I think that it's just as well she's suffering from Alzheimer's, because I believe that children are not supposed to go before their parents. And I think, I don't know how my mother would have taken this. And I wonder, you know, I mean, I'm sure they discuss it around her and talk about her and told her that Janet is dead and all this kind of stuff. And I wonder, you know, like within the realm of Alzheimer's, they said there's nothing there. But I wonder energetically if this is something that can be understood, because the human being is really vast and very big and very wide, and there are things about the human being that we will never know until we know, right? And so Yeah, it's just as well. My mother is in that condition because she's like the first child that she had with my father, right? My father's been dead like close to 30 years. I have a brother, well, my mother's son, which is a brother of mine, and he lives in Connecticut, right? And I guess I'm kind of selfish because... I know it's kind of selfish, but I really only sort of pay attention to my brothers and sisters that are my mother's and father's children, right? I know it sounds really weird, and some people would be like, you're really selfish, but my brothers and sisters are my brothers and sisters from my mother and father. My mother's children and or my father's children and my mother's children and my father's children, they are my brothers and sisters, but not in the realm of my mother and father together. You get what I'm saying? And so anyway, I spoke to him on the phone the other day and he's going to go to the funeral as well. And you know what's so funny about it? I called him and said to him, are you going to the funeral? And he said, yes. I said, how are you flying out? He goes, by Norwegian Air. I says, I'm going by Norwegian Air. So he says, what day are you leaving? I says, I'm leaving Monday. We're both leaving on the same flight. So I just thought that was really, like, really strange that we're leaving on the same flight. Let's, Marissa. Yay, Marissa, call in, right? And so call in and talk about your mama if you have the fortitude to do that. But yeah, we're leaving on the same flight. I was kind of excited about it. But, you know, is that selfish though to, it's not, it's just like, it's ownership, right? These are my parents. These are my brothers and sisters. And you have my mother and you have my father and we are connected as brothers and sisters, but I don't see you as my brother and sister. I see you as my brother and sister, but I don't claim you in our sect, in our group. I don't know what they are. I've never really, this is a conversation that I have and it's my conversation. I don't know. I don't even know if my brothers and sisters have this conversation. It's probably don't have this conversation. It's just mine. And I guess it comes to, I'm laughing because there were six, seven of us, right? And I remember growing up, I used to pretend. I used to pretend like they didn't exist, right? Not all the time, not every time, but sometimes I used to pretend like I was an only child. I know it sounds terrible, but you got to get growing up in a house with six other people, right? It's a lot of people. And you have to deal with your own stuff. So I seriously used to make up stories that I was an only child. I never went into the street and told anybody that. This was in my head. It wasn't like I lived it like, if somebody says, oh, you're an only child, I'd be like, no, I've got six siblings. But literally, I did used to make that up, right, that I was an only child. Anyway, it's just really weird sort of. My Janet was like a few years, she was a lot of years older than me, and she used to call me Goat Mouth. Goat Mouth. Can you get, I don't know where she got that from, but that's what, Goat Mouth, go sit down, right? Or I remember my sister, she was like, she was in charge of us. She was in charge of us. And it was just like, ugh. I think she was stricter than my mother to me. I guess what she was doing was the strictness that she had, she put in on us. But she wasn't strict with her kids. She was fine with her children. I don't think she ever slapped her kids once. She slapped me though. We got into fights, but I remember my sister, I was kind of a tomboy, and my favorite game was tag, right? Or as we say in England, he, right? So you'd run around and they'd tag you and then you'd be it, right? And that was my favorite game. So it wasn't really boys. It wasn't really like fashion. It wasn't nail polish. It wasn't any of that stuff. But one day, somebody brings a bottle of red nail polish to school. And I was like, yeah, you can do my nails, right? And they did my nails. And I'm coming home from school with my bag. It's slung over my shoulder. My socks are down by my knees. My sweater is all ragtag. My tie, because we wore ties, right? My tie is all over. I'm just a mess, right? And I had this same hair, actually. And my sister was looking out the window because we lived in a townhouse, the equivalent to a townhouse here. And my sister was looking out the window and she saw me coming down the street. And once I got to the gate, she said to me, "You are not coming in this house with that nail polish." I'm like, seriously? Like, you didn't answer. I didn't say seriously to her. But in my head, it's like, oh, God. Bloody hell. You know. And she's like, "So you're not coming in. So you got to, but how am I going to get it off? I don't care." I said, "Janet, how am I going to get the nail polish?" She's like, "Figure it out. You should have figured it out when you put it on. We send you to school to learn not to put nail polish on." I was like, "What the hell?" So I had to sit there, and what I couldn't bite off, I literally rubbed it along the pavement, right, to get this. This is what happened. I had to do this. She wouldn't let me in the house without this nail polish. And so I don't know how long I was out there with that nail polish, but I did get it off. And then there was another time when I was older. I think I was about 16. She wasn't living there. No, I was probably less than 16, actually. Probably. I don't know. But anyway, I was a teenager, and she wasn't living there. She'd gone, long gone, long married, got her children, all this kind of stuff. But yet, she wanted to boss me about, right? So mommy didn't boss me about. Mommy and I had an agreement. We were cool, you know. I was probably at 16 because I made the agreement with mommy that she couldn't tell me what to do anymore. But not Janet. She felt like she could tell me what to do. And I will take you into that story when I come back.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Do you love or are you intrigued about New York City and its neighborhoods? I'm Jeff Goodman, host of Rediscovering New York, a weekly show that showcases New York's history and its extraordinary neighborhoods. Every Tuesday live at 7 p.m., we focus on a particular neighborhood and explore its history, its vibe, its feel, and its energy. Tune in live every Tuesday at 7 p.m. on talkradio.nyc.
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
So we're back on Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way. So as I was saying, my sister, I guess Sam just asked me a question. Did my sister feel responsible for us? I would say, yeah, she did. She kind of raised us, actually. My sister was quite, you know, I guess you just know if you're the kind of person that you're going to have children and you're going to give your life to that. You just know that. I knew that wasn't me. That was her. But anyway, my sister and I, she'd be like, you know, I'd be out having a teenage life. I mean, she didn't have a teenage life. She had one boyfriend. She met that boyfriend, got pregnant, had babies, had a shotgun wedding. I call it shotgun. I really do. Had a shotgun wedding and lived with him for a myriad of years. And whether she was happy in that or not happy in that, she stayed because she's just the kind of person that stays loyal, right? And so, yeah, we were having a fight in the kitchen. She was like, "You're a slut." And I was like, "You're just jealous because you never go." I wasn't a slut, but you know. Anyway, she, I guess a slut for my sister was like, I had more than two boyfriends. You know what I mean? So I guess I was a slut. Dirty whore. So we had a knockdown drag out in the kitchen. And like, I'm like thin as a bone, right? I was really, really thin. And I thought I was strong, but she literally tried to, well, she probably did mop the floor with me, you know. But that was the first and only time that we ever had a fight. And I can see the fight right now. We're by the sink in the kitchen, and we're fighting. I don't even know. You just sort of think about it now. But like, you know what? I have no regrets about that. I have no regrets about the things that happened between me and my sister. And there wasn't really many. But it's like, those are the things that I can keep dear and hold dear to me now, you know? And it's like, Sam asks me if I'm complete with my sister. I think I'm very complete with my sister. Why? Because there was nothing that I kept from her. If I had a concern, if I had an upset, I would call her up. My sister was something else though. But if I call her up and said, I'm really mad at you, she goes, she'd be like, for what? I'd be like, blah, 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 blah. She goes, get over it. You know, she'd just be like, get over it. And, you know, you did. I said what I had to say, and then I'd just get over it. You know, I never had one of these relationships where we had upset and it never got completed. It got completed. And one of the things she was always wanted to do, yeah, she'd have her upsets and she'd be disappointed and she'd have her bitch fits or whatever the case may be, but it never lasted. She won, even up until her dying day just recently, because there was a rift between I have three brothers and us, and she literally, that was one of the things that she called for with my brothers to complete that conversation. And so she did not go to her grave holding on to any upset. And I just think that's really powerful. You know, I think that's a real powerful thing to do, to like know that you're actually dying and you want to complete this part of your life so that you don't have to take that with you or that person. Because it's not the person that dies, it's the people that are left behind that have to deal with themselves and deal with the, you know, the issues. And what I find is like, I am very, very interested and curious, because like I said, there's a rift within my family between my brothers. And for me, I've resolved it, right? I'm resolved in the rift, but I'm not clear that they are. And how I'm not clear that they are is because they have not made any motions to have a conversation. So I am very curious to see how this is going to play out. I know what my role is when I go, which is to clean house, clean slate, you know, like be in the space of forgiveness, recreation. That's my role. That's what I'm committed to. And, you know, I'll do the best that I can because that's all I can do. And I'll just let things be where they are, because you can't force a person to do anything, you know, whether it's brother, sister, family. And I feel that in some respects, it's always much more difficult to be vulnerable with family, I think, right? I think that it takes courage. I think that it takes like a mass amount of forgiveness to be able to do that. And so even though I say it and I've experienced it, I've made calls, I've written letters and all kinds of stuff, what's going to be like my growth experience is when I actually go and see my brothers, right? And see, like, this is one of us. This is not like an auntie that died or a cousin or an uncle. This is like, you know, we shared a womb. You know what I mean? We literally shared the same womb to get here. So I'm really excited to see how, you know, that's going to pan out. And I'm excited to see, to experience like communicating with my brothers. I'm excited to see where that feeling, if there's any feeling, where that resides in my body, right? And how, if I can, you know, like take on being responsible, right, rather than reactive. So, you know, it's, you know, death is always one of those things that it's either going to cause crazy or it's going to cause healing. I am standing that it will be a powerful healing. That's where I'm standing in. But yeah, I've seen it. I've been to funerals where people are going absolutely ape because they're incomplete with that person. I have had experiences, you know, death for many of us is very, very scary. You know, just the experience of saying to people these last few weeks, oh, my sister died. It's a shock. They don't know my sister, but it's a shock to their system. And I'm like, it's okay. You know, and I wonder, what is that? What is that feeling? What is that shock? What is that sorrow? I mean, I know they're sorry for me, and it's, I get the condolences and the love and all this kind of stuff. I receive that. I take that in. But it's kind of like when you say to people somebody died that you knew, it's that, is it because we're seeing our own mortality? Yeah, I do. I think it's because we're seeing our own mortality. I don't know. I just find it very sort of like, it's kind of like, because for me, it's like, I discovered and experienced and had my first experience with somebody dying when I was 11, right? It wasn't a family member, but it could have been a family member. It was a neighbor, right, who I knew from the age of 0 to 11. And he died. And it was funny because, you know, we had these dreams that we don't even know that they're dreams. We think that they're like actually real because you can't distinguish between real. Is it a dream or is it something that I thought? Or, I don't know. Anyway, his name was Jimbo and he lived next door and he'd give you 5p. He'd give you 5p or 10p if you ran down the street and bought him cigarettes, right? Today, you can't give a kid 10p or 50 cents or even a dollar to go buy cigarettes for you because it is illegal. But at the time, it wasn't illegal, right? So we'd go buy cigarettes for him and he'd give you money for candy or whatever. And so when he died, I remember having, I'm going to say it was a dream because it kind of been real, right? I had a dream that Jimbo had come to me and he was at our stoop and he says to me, Noreen, I'm going on a journey. And I was like, no, you're not. You're dead. Right? And, you know, I guess this is what you do when you're like 11 years old. You kind of tie things to stories because we all do that. We tie things to stories. And so there was this story about Dick Whittington, right? That I grew up hearing Dick Whittington he was in the Bells and he came to London to make his fortune and he heard that the streets were paved with gold and stuff. And so when Jimbo died, I had this dream that, and Dick Whittington had a pack, which was a stick with his shit tied in a knot on this stick and he carried it over on his shoulder like that, right? And so Jimbo had on his rain mac, which I knew that he had this rain mac. He had on his hat, which is his consistent hat. And he came to me and he says, Noreen, I'm going on a journey. And I'm like, no, you're not. You're dead. You're dead. What do you mean you're going on a journey? And he says, yeah, I'm going on a journey. And I was like, you can't be. You're dead. You're not really going to go on any journeys, right? But what I distinguished as I got older was that the journey, it's like a never-ending journey, right? It's like Jimbo died, his physical died, like his skin bag, this thing here, which we call it, that died, his physicality, but his spirit, like it went on that journey. And so for me, it being a never-ending journey, what I see it now, it was like it splintered out into like a gazillion pieces and it just ended up in the ozone or in the ethos, right? He lives in the ethos for me. Right. And so I realized that, oh, wow, like he is dead, but he's gone on, like he's gone on this journey. Right. And he only lives here and here, I guess. Right. And it's the same with my father. When my father died, it was a very similar situation. But I knew he died and I don't know how I know, but I just knew he died. And then I got the call that he had died the next day because I just finished sharing the conversation about hearing from somebody dying in England with one of my bosses. And then it was my dad, right? But I have had experiences of my father coming to me and I was dreaming, right? Coming to me in a dream and looking really good. Like I don't know my father as young, right? I never knew my father. Like, you know, my father's probably a gazillion years old. But anyway, my father came to me in a dream. I was in St. Thomas, and he came to me in a dream, and he was dressed up looking really good. And I said to him, wow, you look really good. What are you up to? And he was like talking. I said, but, and he wanted to give me a hug, right? And I was like, don't touch me. You're dead, right? I knew he was dead because in dreams, you know, people are dead, right? Yeah, it's like I'm talking to him. I'm having a conversation with him and he's dead, right? I mean, he's like, he wants to give me this hug. And I'm like, no, you can't give me a hug because you're dead. And like, I've had many dreams like this. I have a girlfriend that died in her 20s. And I used to dream about her a lot. And we used to go, literally, I know this sounds crazy to some people, but some people who are spiritually inclined and understand metaphysics and spirituality and all this kind of stuff, they will know and understand what I'm talking about. The rest of you all just think I'm crazy. But that's nothing new because I have been being crazy since I was a little girl. So, but my girlfriend Dina, she died. She died. She had an aneurysm and died at a very young age. She used to come to me in dreams all the time, and we'd go on trips, like trips to Paris, literally in my dream. I am in Paris, I'm hanging out, we're having a really great time, and then it gets to that time, and I said, Dina, how am I going to get back, right? Because I know I got to go back. And so it was like, it's time, I got to get up, I got to go back, and all of a sudden, it's like the moment I said I got to go back, I'm back, you know? So I really don't believe, I emphatically do not believe in death. And I know one day I am going to die. And that's why I am 100% rip-roaring, no fucking joking, living my life the best and to the fullest that I can. And it's about, for me, freeing myself up. If there's an issue, get it resolved. Freeing it up. So it doesn't take up space in my life and I can't move on. And, you know, it's so funny that each and every time I think of my sister, and it's like thinking of her, I see her at her most happiest times is when she was in her 20s. So we'll be right back and we'll talk more.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
The best designs for your life start at home. I'm David Thiergartner, interior designer and host of At Home. Listen live Tuesday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern Time as we talk to the very best professionals about interior design and the design that's all around us right here on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
TalkingAlternative.com.
Back on Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way, and I am paying homage to my sister. So if there's anybody out there, I see four people looking, right? But if there's anybody out there that would like to pay homage to a family member, or you know, just share what you know, how the person died, or like your experience of the person, if you have had experience of them coming to you in dreams, or like just remember having little drops, little pops of conversations coming to you, let me know. So one of the things, my sister was gangster, let me tell you, right? My sister had her surgery, and she had her breast, a mastectomy. Yeah, mastectomy. And she decided, I was going to say breast amputation, because it is kind of an amputation, right? It's an mastectomy is, yeah, a lovely word, but it really is an amputation. She had her breast removed. And I said, are you going to get like a new breast? And she was like, no. But I think to myself, right, I'm sure there's a ton of women out there that are like, I'm not even going to be bothered with that. I'm just going to deal with my, you know, issue and stuff. My sister did not want to have an implant. She was just like, I'm just not doing it, you know. And one of the things my sister talked about was she finally just said, I'm not doing chemo anymore, right? And she just like, I'm not doing it anymore. It's just like, my sister was black as night, right? And I would say that my sister maybe a little shade darker than me, but not much. But when I saw my sister was saying that her skin got really black, and she, like, the chemo burnt her, like it kind of burnt her, so to speak. And so her skin went really black, you know, her hair, of the usual things, her hair fell out and all that kind of, and I was thinking, like, chemo must be really something, because people's teeth don't fall out, right? Because I was thinking about that. Her hair fell out, her skin went really black, she lost a lot of weight, but her teeth were fine. I don't know if anybody knows anything about that. Let me know, because I just, right? I have a friend who, she's a fighter for black women and black women's medical rights, and she's a lesbian, cisgender, LGBTQ. I don't know exactly, don't quote me. But she has a young girl who had I think her mother died of breast cancer, and she developed breast cancer in her 20s. And she just has no nipples, right? And she has, I think, those breast things in. But she's just like showing those scars, proud, going out there, doing battle. And I'm sure there's a lot of women that are out there too that just are not going to do implants. Implants are not safe. You know, so it's like one demon for another demon. Do you know what I mean? But they're not safe. I saw a thing on TV the other day where a woman went to get a mammogram, and the mammogram, because, you know, it's a lot of tugging and pulling and squashing, the mammogram literally fractured her implant, and the implant imploded inside of her body, and it was like glue, right? So not just is the implant imploding inside of her body, is like, how do you get that out of your body? Does it ever leave your body, right? So she just refused to do that because it was like one devil for another devil, right? And she fought for 10 years. And she said to her doctors, no, she's not going to do it anymore. And what will be, if she's to die, she'll die. Not cavalierly, but like, really, it's like, what can they do? I mean, there are different kinds of cancers, right? And so when I turned 40, I went to get my mammogram, and I've only not done my mammogram one time, and that one time was last year, right? But this year, what I did was I have booked myself 2 years in advance, right? Because I just had my mammogram, everything is clear. And now they have this new machine that actually slices and can really do a thorough check, but nothing is 100%. Nothing is 100%. And even, look, there are so many cancers today. that, what is it? Food. It's been around for a long, long time. At least now we have names, what it's called. At least now we have certain treatments and things like that. But my question is, will there ever be a cure? You know, that's a big one. And you know what else, which is, I'm quite shocked, actually. So somebody had sent out a, you know, they sent out this recording. I know somebody, maybe 10 of you are going to read this and, you know, and if you don't, blah, 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 right? So somebody sent that out on Facebook the other day and I added my sister's story to it. And then this other thing came where you can actually add a button and you can actually add an organization where you can donate to. And I added it, just really not knowing what I was doing. I just added it, right? And guess what it's called? It's called Beyond, it's like Breast Cancer, Beyond Breast Cancer, or Breast Cancer and Beyond. And I put a donate button on that thing. And, you know, a few of my friends, thank you very much, have donated. I donated $160 from that, you know, thing. So it's like, wow, I feel really good that... people, I put it in there, I had no idea what it is, and people have literally given money, contributed to it. It's really great, so I thank you for that. And it will allow some women to do yoga, you know, to have a fun event. You know, it's like really keeping them alive and well and keeping them engaged in community, which I'm all about community, right? So... So I can't see anything on here. I can't. What does it say?
Someone asked how old your sister's kids are.
One of my sisters, they're in their, my sister's kids are older. So they're like 40s, 30s, 40, like they're all in their 30s and 40s now. Yeah. My sister had her first kid when she was 16. So yeah, and that's the one that she, Natasha, she got married to my brother-in-law, and I know that he's probably feeling kind of bad now that she's dead. And but you know what? You got to deal with your stuff. What can I say? You know, it's life. We have choices. You want to be with somebody, be with them. You don't want to be with them, let them go. But we all have choices today. We're not obligated. It's not like back in the day when you know, if you were a divorced woman, you got a scarlet letter on your forehead, D, right? Or a divorced man. We're free to do whatever the hell we want to do, and we have to choose, you know? And otherwise, you deal with the, you get the repercussions of your actions, which you're not secure with. I don't know. But yeah, so they're grown. I can't see if anybody's replying on here or asking any questions. But yeah, so who else have I known that has, I know a lot of women that have recovered from cancer. There are a lot of friends and a lot of people that I know that I didn't know they had cancer. There's a lot of people that I know that their family members have died of cancer. There are a lot of people that are having it 2 and 3 and 4 times. And I don't know what the percentage is of like women and breast cancer, but it's also breast cancer. There's also breast cancer in men, right? Which is never really talked about. But yeah, men can get breast cancer as well. But there are, and it's getting younger and younger. And I didn't know this until I went to have my mammogram, whereby the young lady that was doing the mammogram, she like really educated me around the machine and everything. She said that if you're a person that has breast cancer in your family, like if your mother had breast cancer and you're a young person, you should do checkups. You should make sure that you've done checkups and things like that. I do have a few friends who are like, they're not freaking doing a mammogram. They're not going to do it because they don't want the radiation in their body. I don't know what to tell you. I'm sure we can get radiation walking down the street. But one of the things that I got from an article that went through Facebook talking about mammograms, there is a neck thing which covers your thyroid. When you're having a mammogram, there's this neck cover. It's, I think it's got lead in it or something, but it covers your thyroid area. So it's important to ask for that. They're not going to give it to you. You have to ask for it. Critical, critical, must. Then there's also what I've discovered. Is this the last segment? There's also an apron that covers your organs when you have a mammogram. Even though, as she said, we're not really focusing on your thyroid area and we're not really focusing on your organs, it doesn't matter. Ask for it. Take the precautions. So now each and every time I will go to this, have my mammograms, I will be doing that. So on that note, we've come to the end of the segment, and I'll be leaving for London on Monday, 11 o'clock, and I will be burying my sister on April 11th. So I'm asking that you all come along with me, support and celebrate her life, because I'm going to celebrate her life like it's 1999. And I'm going to give her the best, the kind of send-off that she got when she was born. And I'm going to give her a very similar and more, much more profound send-off now that she's dead. So join me and wish me well and wish me strength with my brothers. And yeah, thank you so much for the people that donated. And so I'm signing off now. This is Noreen from Beyond Potential. Live life your way. I'll speak to you in a couple of weeks. Bye.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network. Are you stuck in a rut? Negative thoughts, feelings, and conversations got you down? Hi, I'm Noreen Sumter, the Potentiator. Tune in every Tuesday at 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time and listen for new ideas on my show, Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way, on talkradio.nyc.
Hey, all you crazy listeners. Looking to boost your business? Why not advertise on Talking Alternative with very reasonable rates? Interested? Simply email at info@talkingalternative.com.
The best designs for your life start at home. I'm David Thiergartner, interior designer and host of At Home. Listen live Tuesday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern Time as we talk to the very best professionals about interior design and the design that's all around us right here on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network at www.talkingalternative.com. Now, broadcasting 24 hours a day. Talking Alternative.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.